Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Hi, welcome in, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, here with you on the bench. At John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Aaron is Blitzed. If you want to tweet the show, you're more than welcome. You can also watch on Twitch. You can always get that at twitch.tv/ESPN975. So here we go, and you heard, man, Graveman against Toro, the two guys that you traded, and Toro wins the battle. Toro's been pretty good over there. He's hit 300 for him. They needed a bat. Of course, they were disgusted when they lost Graveman, and they actually went into a tailspin. But, yeah, they've been up and down. It's not a great baseball team, but they needed some bat in the lineup, and they got it with Toro. He's hitting over 300 for him. He's knocking in runs. He's a pretty good hitter. And it actually is working out for both teams, although it didn't work out for the Astros last night. And Graveman, while he was unhittable at first, his last two out of his last three outings have not been great. They haven't been great. So that, and especially last night, walks and hits and just not good.
You remember the game Fromber? He blew that. Well, it was 2-0. He gave up a home run there, made it 2-1. Then Presley gave up the Fromber win, and they went to extra innings. You may remember that one. So that was one in one of his appearances. I think that was the, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to remember, was that the, I think it was on the 22nd against Seattle. So, yeah, it was at home. They ended up losing 6-3. Yeah, because Stanek, I think, was a loser in that one. So Graveman has given it up a little bit here lately. He had a run, I guess, over his last 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, yeah, it was those last five, actually, 6, 7. He's only given up 6 earned runs. He gave up his first one in
6 earned runs against, in 7
in LA against the Angels. Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's not net well, but
well,
he's
with
also
one grand
thrown
slam.
Yeah, he's also thrown.
He's only thrown 11. I mean, he hasn't pitched as much as you probably think with the Astros.
No.
I mean,
he's thrown 11 innings.
He's got 12 and a third innings with the Astros.
He had one bad. You know what? You throw one bad outing, you'll throw one bad outing out of 11. Although he did give up a run in against the Angels, and he gave up a run against Seattle. Do you think he's throwing these games against Seattle? Remember how disappointed? Remember how disappointed he was?
Yeah, he was awfully disappointed.
And maybe he's, you know, letting the guys win some games and getting them back into this race just to do a solid for his buddy.
He's given up a run in 3 of his last 7 appearances.
Yeah.
So it's not optimal.
No. No,
one of them helped to lose the Fromber, what should have been a Fromber win at home against Seattle.
Right.
They lost in extra innings. This one was directly Seattle, the grand slam there. How about Toro? Toro has been a heckler for the Astros now. Yeah. He's been a heckler.
Well, I mean, it's not that long. I've only faced him a couple of times, but yeah, it's not great to see Toro come to the plate. You know, he's pumped a little bit, but that was just a flat fastball, right? It belt high, and he just crushed it.
Two strike. You don't want to. Well, I mean, you're going to have to come in at some point. I mean, you obviously have to. You can't walk him, but yeah, that was.
That was not. I mean,
that wasn't the favorite thing that I saw happen.
No, that was a bad thing that we saw happen. But it is,
and it just tailed back in over the plate. Like if it would have stayed there on the inner portion, you might have had a shot. And then it just tailed over the middle. And it's like, oh no! As soon as it left the bat, I was like,
yeah. And the A's have won 3 straight, so your lead is 5. Mariners are 7.5 back. You got Odorizzi this afternoon on the bump, and that's why I said, you know, you got to win your that first game was awfully awfully important to win the other day, because you got you know that the finale is going to be Odorizzi. Listen, Lance started out so, I mean, what did he throw? 29 pitches in the 28, 29 pitches in the first inning? That was just laborious. And you were like, oh my goodness. And he threw 102 over five innings, although he didn't give up any runs, was nice. The bats were mostly silent. I mean, Jake Meyers, get a hit once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You go 0 for 4. Where's Chaz McCormick when you need him? I mean, can we just...
Well, quick, we turn on Jake Meyers.
Well, he's my favorite Astro, don't get me wrong. But yeah, if you're going to go 0 for, you know, just go sit down. If, you, yeah, if you're not even going to show up for the game.
Where are the five spots?
Where are the
Astros five spots from an offensive standpoint?
I know, right? How about some crooked numbers? Let's put them up.
I mean,
you know,
I guess you are getting some. I mean, looking back here, four against the Royals, six Royals, although you got it late, five Royals, five Rangers, two Rangers, four Rangers, I mean, four Mariners, zero Mariners. I mean, I'd like some more sevens and 15s and 12s.
Yeah.
I'd like to get back into the 15 range, into the double-digit range.
That's all. I mean,
is it too much to ask for seven runs?
It is the Mariners. Let's go.
Is it too much to ask for seven runs?
It was last night. So let's go. You lazy bats. Let's start it up again. Jake Meyers, get off your ass, and let's start getting some hits today.
Hey, it's worth noting that yesterday, Dusty Baker, before the Astros game, announced that Zach Greinke and Taylor Jones were placed on the injured list, citing protocols, but would not say if they had tested positive for COVID.
More than likely, that's the case. Urquidy had another solid start, his last outing, which is really nice, through three scoreless. So I don't know if you've got to hurry up, you know, quicken up his timetable or what, and you just say, hell with it, come and give us four or five innings. And you know what? If you can throw three and four innings at Sugarland, you can certainly do it here, and we'll just hit and hope. You know, we've been talking about how you change the rotation with Urquidy coming back, or who goes down, who goes to the pen. They might go back to a six-man rotation. They just might, because you get less starts for Garcia,
yeah,
which is less pitches, which is something that you want. You want fewer pitches for him as he's hit the most he's ever thrown in his career. You get less Jake Odorizzi. It's not like anybody, you're like, oh, we got to skip everybody for, you know, Fromber's starting to throw really well. But, you know, I don't know that it's not optimal to have a six-man rotation when Urquidy comes back and when Greinke gets back in there. Maybe Greinke, you know, the way that he threw last time, although he does throw a stinker out there every fourth or fifth or sixth game. So it's not really unusual. But, you know, maybe this is going to be a six-man rotation once everybody is healthy. Then you got all six guys, all six starters back. And that wouldn't be, as you wind down the season here, you know, getting guys less throwing less pitches, being fresher for the postseason, I think that might be the way that they go about it. And Urquidy looks pretty good. So that's a really good sign. And instead of maybe if you wanted him to have another rehab start, now that Greinke's out, bring him on up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for keeping Garcia fresh. He is picking up. I read an article yesterday about you know, his rookie of the year chances, in terms of you know, as being the top rookie pitcher. And I thought the consistency level has been. It's not been a spectacular season for Garcia, but it's been a good season.
This is great for a rookie.
It's been a good season, and so.
He's got one of the best pitches in baseball.
Well, Garcia's right now, their entire thing is how many innings is he worth?
Yeah.
And they've said all along that's something they were going to keep an eye on. So I don't think a six-man rotation is something that you start to, you know, put to the side. I think it's going to happen. I think it is going to happen. I think they want to see what every starting pitcher has. You know what? I don't think they have any problem with Zach Greinke getting some rest, with Lance McCullers getting an additional rest. I don't think they have any issues with any of that stuff.
No.
And the main thing is, can Urquidy go? Is he a good pitcher? Because if Urquidy gets his stuff back and he's fine on a major league level,
yeah,
you got to figure out what you're doing now, what the rotation's going to look like, and more importantly, I guess, what your bullpen's going to look like. Because Urquidy's going to have a hard time being one of the first four. No,
they've already got Urquidy slotted in on Saturday at San Diego. So it's going to go Odorizzi today. They get a day off, and it's Fromber on Friday, Urquidy on Saturday, and then Garcia. And you hope that Greinke is able to get back September 10th, but we'll see. And then you probably, again, you go with the six-man rotation. So, Yeah, that listen, this is going to be a really, really nice thing to have Urquidy back, especially with Greinke on the IR with the COVID. And Taylor Jones, listen, Taylor Jones has played pretty well. Other than that pop-up he missed, that cost him a game, cost the team a game, cost Presley, three runs on his ERA. Other than that, it's, Taylor Jones has actually come through. I'm amazed at how, out of nowhere, some of these guys have come. Luis Garcia from A-ball to possibly the rookie of the pitching rookie of the year in the big leagues without throwing a pitch in Double A or Triple A. Where Jake Myers came from, he was basically unheard of. And oh, by the way, he really, really added a lot of pop just this year in Sugarland. He had never had over 500 slugging percentage before he got to Sugarland. And for whatever reason, he is on everything, and last night notwithstanding. I mean, it's just amazing where these guys are coming from and coming up with huge, huge contributions for this baseball team. In a time when they really, really needed it with COVID and all these injuries that they've had to the rotation and to the lineup. So this has been a godsend. It's a loss. They're 5 up still. The A's starting to play a little bit better with 3 straight wins. But oh well. The Houston Texans were big news yesterday as the final cuts were made to get to 53, although it's anywhere close to final. I don't think with this roster, and we'll go over it when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, listen, nobody's perfect, and you might not be. I don't know what's going on with you in the boudoir. I have no idea. Don't really care, but I do know this, is that you can get help. If, in fact, you're not feeling yourself, if you're not feeling great, if you're not up to your own standards, whatever it is it feels like, if you feel like you're coming up short, if it's bothering you, there are options. Get Roman.com/John. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation for your ongoing ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional is going to work with you to find the best treatment if medication is appropriate. It ships you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward. It is discreet. You will get 2-day shipping absolutely free. Get Roman.com/John. Complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/John. Get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 715 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. So our Houston Texans final roster is set. I don't know that I'm shocked. I don't think either of us are shocked that Kiki QT is not on the team.
No.
Well, he did not make the cut. Listen, when they picked up Anthony Miller, it's the same kind of guy. Same type of guy.
And they traded for him.
He's their guy. They brought him in as opposed to a Bill O'Brien guy. It won't be long before, other than the first rounders, there won't be any Bill O'Brien. There won't be any remnants of Bill O'Brien left on this spot. Maybe a couple, 3 Justin Reeds or Ross Blacklocks here and there. Maybe a Jacob Martin if he continues to play well. That'll still be here. You know, but other than that, it's not going to be long before we're devoid of anything that Bill O'Brien did.
Well, let's look at wide receiving crew, right? Nico Collins, Chris Conley, Anthony Miller, Andre Roberts, and Brandon Cooks. One guy left at wide receiver. Laremy Tunsil, Charlie Heck were both Max Sharping and Titus Howard, all old regime. So most of the offensive line is still old regime.
Well, Farrell Brown, Jordan Akins,
those two were here. And then new draft pick. And then quarterback, I guess you count Watson. Other two are new regime, Mark Ingram, David Johnson, Scotty Phillips, Rex Burkhead.
David Johnson was here.
David Johnson's the only one that I remember. Yeah. Scotty Phillips was here last year. I think he was on practice squad last year.
But Bill didn't bring him up. So defensively, Whitney Mercilus, Jacob Martin, Charles Menahue, all guys that were here. Ross Blacklock, all guys that were here.
Yeah, the new ones are DeMarcus Walker, Roy Lopez.
It was nice that DeMarcus Walker, the way he played, he made the team.
DeMarcus Walker played well, made the team. There weren't any big surprises along the defensive line. At linebacker, of course, at linebacker you have Kevin Pierre-Louis made along with Zach Cunningham, Christian Kirksey. Those are the three you expected. Garrett Waller, their draft pick, made it.
Cameron Grugier.
Hewitt, who had a good and Camus Grugier-Hill. When he's playing downhill, he can really flash from time to time.
So the only guy there is Zach Cunningham that was here last year. The only guy in the linebacker
corps. That's the only one. Cornerback Terrence Mitchell and Desmond King made the team along with Bradley Roby's on the commissioner's suspension, or he's on the suspended list. Those are going to be your three guys.
Vernon made the team, which is a little, for now.
Let's see. Tremont Smith has got a he's a backup who they brought in off the that he was a just a free agent. No. Did they deal for him or they signed him off waivers? I think they signed him off waivers.
Yeah.
But he made the team along with Thomas Tavair, who that one's surprised me a little. I just haven't really even paid attention
Tavair
to him.
Tavair Thomas.
Eric Murray and Eric Murray had a much better preseason than he had a season last year. So Eric Murray still on the team along with Justin Reed, Lonnie Johnson, Terrence Brooks.
So the majority of the safeties, four of the five.
Mm-hmm. Terrence Brooks, the guy they brought in from New England, he ended up making the team. So five safeties they've got right now. They've got five cornerbacks. It wouldn't shock me though if they hit the waiver wires and end up picking up players. Maybe I wonder if Vernon Hargrave's spot is safe. We'll see.
The vast majority of the team though is new.
Linebackers they'll stick with the linebackers. I think they'll actually stick with the defensive linemen. I think DBs, offensive linemen, these could be the two positions that they take a look at. Maybe wide receiver.
I think Andre Roberts is probably replaceable.
Yeah.
I don't know how you stick with unless David Johnson is in the slot more often than not. Here's David Culley on an abundance of running backs that made the team.
It's very important because of the durability. We basically would like our physicality and, kind of be a power running team as well as a zone running team. And we're fortunate to have guys on our team right now that fit that mold. And that is very important. Well, it is a lot about matchups. I think it's just about it's running back by committee for us. Just like we did in this past ball game was kind of how we see it happening. And depending on the flow of the game, what guy's in there is the guy that we'll have in there that feels like with what we're trying to do gives us the best chance.
So
Which Florida game, Tampa or
I think he meant Jacksonville.
It might have been Tampa.
I think he meant Jacksonville.
They're both Florida.
Said depending on the Florida game, meaning it's coming.
Oh, coming up.
Yeah. If you're a Philip Lindsay fantasy football guy, that's not great news.
There's nothing
great by committee.
Listen, okay. I want your absolute right now. You got to put money on it. Which running back will have the most yards for the Houston Texans this year? Most rushing yards.
Mark Ingram.
And most total yards.
I think that may be Philip Lindsay. But, David Johnson actually ran pretty good that last preseason game, and he's a very good receiving option. Yeah. So I don't know that we should write off David Johnson just yet.
Will we see more 21 personnel or 12 personnel?
12 is a too tight set. 21 is two running backs. I think it will be – well, if it's 21 – you're basically going to be creative with how you
a lot of motion.
How you deploy maybe Philip Lindsay and David Johnson, either one of them. So, yeah, I think we'll see more 12, a lot more 12.
You
12
do?
Is the two tight end.
I think there's a chance we see more 21, what with, just one slot receiver, really, with Anthony Miller. I think you're going to see David Johnson in motion a lot and going out in patterns.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you still have to call it 21. I mean, technically it's an 11 if you're using him as a wide receiver, but if you can line him up, the fact that he's a running back, you have to call it 20. You would have to create. I mean, if they really wanted to get creative, And they tried to do some two-back stuff. And when I say two-back, fullback is two-back also, but that's the primary.
But they, two-back you have sets, to have but, a two-back, a fullback.
Yeah, but you can do two running backs. Old school.
Yeah.
San Francisco, when they had split backfield with Walsh, they used to do some of that stuff.
But Roger Craig.
You don't. I just don't think you're going to see the Texans do a lot of it because one of the guys needs to be a blocker, needs to be able to block a little bit in case you want to. You don't want to have two running backs where one guy has no other option. Then you're basically going with one of the running backs and the quarterback who aren't going to block. It makes it well. Your math isn't great.
How often are you running? You're lining up a tight end in the backfield.
You could as an H-back.
Yeah.
You could do that.
But just off the tackle.
But because the personnel group, it's considered 12.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that would be considered 12.
Yeah, it's 12, but then when you line up, it's really more of a 21.
Yeah.
21 is the first number is the running back, second number is the tight end. So when we say 12, it means one running back, two tight ends, which means two wide receivers. Because there's always going to be five. We're not counting quarterback. There's always going to be five position groups. So if you hear 21 person, if you hear 12 personnel, that's one running back, two tight ends, two receivers. 21 would be two running backs, one tight end, right, two receivers. And when you hear 11, which is what the primary, most teams run the most 11 right now,
right,
which means one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. That's what we see mostly in football now. That's why we see nickel more than 4-3 or 3-4. You see, you know, five DBs on the field because you have to guard that 11 personnel.
I wonder how they use Burkhead.
Burkhead is a guy who could also be cut, but, you know, Burkhead could potentially – we know how you use him. You use him as a third down back with the potential to do some stuff on first or second down from time to time. I'm surprised they're – you know, I don't know. Do they keep five running backs a whole year?
I don't know. And why? I don't get it. Unless you feel like David Johnson is more of a –
they could look to move,
more of a receiver.
They could look to move one of those guys. But I don't know.
I think there's a possibility that David Johnson is more of a receiver this year.
I do too.
Yeah.
Based on the way they talk, they already said they want to use him more like Duke Johnson.
Yeah. And he's more of a third down back. Ingram, there's a good chance Ingram gets the most carries this year.
I think so because he's got more size than Phillip Lindsay. He's a little more downhill. Phillip Lindsay's not a dancer necessarily, but he's not going to be a big tackle breaker either, even though he's a tough, hard-fighting guy. Mark Ingram just is more... Mark Ingram still got something left in the tank. You could tell in the preseason. Last year, he just got caught up in a numbers game. But even though he's 31 years old, Mark Ingram still has something left. And he's going to be a better touchdown option in the red zone. So, Mark Ingram, it will be interesting to see how they split the carries between Mark Ingram and Phillip Lindsay. As the I'm assuming the primary backs. But you heard David Culley talk about this is going to be running back by committee. Now, the left tackle spot has been Jaron Christian for the entire preseason, number 72. He's a cast off formerly of, I think, Cleveland. And Laremy Tunsil, that's because Laremy Tunsil has been out most of, well, the entire preseason basically with COVID protocol stuff. Although, you know, I know that there have been some people who have wondered, is he just not want to practice? Supposedly his conditioning. The Texans have said they wanted to get the conditioning right. Well, David Culley addressed the possibility of Laremy Tunsil. He came, Laremy Tunsil is active on the roster now. He talked about the potential of Laremy Tunsil playing in week one.
David, do you expect Laremy Tunsil to be available for game one?
We expect him to.
Okay.
All right.
And there you go.
You heard it from the horse.
Laremy Tunsil was able, or unfortunately missed the whole preseason. That was like, I was talking to somebody yesterday about Jadeveon Clowney. I said, you know, Clowney missed a chunk of the preseason, or he just didn't practice, but he wasn't hurt. He was, like I said, he was dealing with nagging injuries. I said, do you think that's the case? And this person in the medical field said, no, absolutely not. That's him not wanting to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Jadeveon, I said, do you know that? He goes, trust me, Jadeveon didn't want to practice. So Jadeveon, and I just thought, Jadeveon Clowney is with his fourth team in 4 years. He consistently works off of 1 year deals because he turns down any multi-year deals because it's not enough money in his opinion. He's never going to get the payday he's looking for. He's never had double digit sacks. He's never really developed as a pass rusher. He hasn't worked on it and has admitted publicly, I've got to really start working on this because guys are catching up with me. It's really amazing to me. And then he still doesn't practice. He still doesn't practice. Like, this is what it means when it's not.
Why are you gonna,
when it's not important enough?
Why are you rest watching?
This is the difference between being a talented player who doesn't live up to the hype and being a really good player. At some point, you got to want to put the work in.
Does this continue?
How does Jadeveon Clowney not get a multi-year deal at some point? And then when he's been offered, he's like, nah, I'm sorry, does this say $100 million? No?
Not
then
interested.
Then why would I be interested in this trash contract?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Clowney, you know you had like 7 sacks last year, right? Yeah, but do you see how many pressures?
But,
forever, people. Well, yeah, but
you
the
see
pressures.
How I stopped the run? You see how
you see
okay.
what I...
Okay, you know, unless I get double teamed, all right, I'm holding my guy up at point of attack. So just pay that man his money, his $100 million. Okay, let's go.
The $100 million run stopper.
What is this? Were you surprised that Vaughn Jenkins and Clancy Deuce Nixon were cut?
Those aren't real people.
What the hell?
Clancy Deuce Nixon. I want to use that though. Those are pretty good. No. Those aren't real people. Stop acting like you are in the draft space.
This
Who's that? David.
David.
Yeah. He always pretends like he's a Mockingdale, he calls himself, that they're part of the draft crew with me. Those aren't real people. Who? Clancy Deuce Nixon and who else?
And Vaughn Taylor. Vaughn Jenkins. No, there's no Vaughn Jenkins.
Vaughn Jenkins.
Stop. God.
You know, one of the places that I used to always watch Vaughn Jenkins play his college ball was Texas Custom Patios, my patio they built for me. I'd sit out there and watch Clancy, Deuce Nixon, and Vaughn Jenkins and, you know, the entire crew out there playing college football on a Saturday. There's nothing better. If you got an outdoor living space, which has, you know, you buy your furniture, but then you got your TV set up, you got your sound system set up that is minus inside the ceiling, which is they'll do the same thing for you. Boy, it's awesome. When you start getting the kitchens built in with the refrigerators, you can keep all your beverages out there. You can make yourself a cocktail. You grill, you get it going. It's a great space to basically live in. Yeah, it's a little hot right now, but that's why you have the fans installed. They can get the large-scale fans that are made for outdoor living and get you set up with that. They build into your home so that you have it built there like it was designed there from the very beginning. They can build freestanding. They've got different types of roofs, gable roofs. And the main thing is at Texas Custom Patios, they truly turn your house into a home. It's amazing what they're building out there. Go take a look at what they did for my outdoor space before and after at tcplance.com. And if that doesn't show you that you've got the opportunity to do the same thing, I don't know what will. Financing available, texascustompatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Look at this. You see this? You guys can't see it, but I'm showing John the mural that Frankie Cardona, one of the, I think, the most talented street artists. I think this guy is going to be one of the most talented artists like in the country. You're going to hear about him, but he's here in Houston, and he did the mural for our boy Cobos, whose restaurant he hopes he's... I was talking to him the other day. It's a guy who was a listener and started cooking for us at Christmas parties and then bringing us up food, and he had his own truck, and he's had a lot of success. He's opening up his own spot in Edo, like a true, you know, this is... I'm really rooting for him. We're going to be there on his opening day, basically. Mm-hmm. He's hoping for October 1st, I know. But you know, you got to wait for certain permits to come in and things like that. But, he said it's not done yet, but that's what it looks like right now. That mural, he's got a big mural that he's getting put in there, and he's going to have DJs there the day we're there. And so we were talking, he and I talked, quite a bit yesterday about food he's going to have. He's like, I got Granado's fries on there because he's such a crybaby.
It's not because I'm a crybaby.
Yeah, it's 100%
because I'm trying. The reason that he's opening up a new business now is because he's going to have fries.
Is it just going to be called Cobos Fries?
It's going to be called Granado Fries.
No, is he opened up a restaurant called Kobo's Fry? Yeah, because you cried so much about French fries.
No, because if you, why would you have a growing concern, a business that doesn't serve French fries? It's stupid.
Because
if
you're going to be stupid
about it, then you know what? You're never going to succeed in life.
So you don't have to have a grease trap. That's one. That's one reason why. You don't have to have the. You know what a pain in the ass it is.
You know how those smell? Did you ever smell a grease trap?
Just my wife pouring grease into one of those plastic. You know, or a pickle jar. You know what I mean? After you make,
if you're there when
meat,
they're
when you open it, it is.
When
oh my God!
When the truck comes to empty the grease trap,
I've never been there for it that. Is it
the
terrible?
Worst? No, it's the worst smell you've ever.
You
ever worst.
Driven? So have you ever driven by the trash plant over there or whatever? Where it's a what is it, Aaron? Fountain View and 59. It's a Fountain View and 59. When you come around Fountain View, I don't think it's Chimney Rock. I think it's Fountain View. Maybe it's Chimney Rock. Where you. You're coming from, let's say, Richmond, and you go down, I think it's Fountain View, and then you take the left onto the feeder. You want to get up on 59. There's a, on the corner, trash trucks bring their trash there, and it's got spray as you enter, because I'm sure it's trying to spray off the smell. Man, that place, if you're actually outside, not in your car, if you got a window rolled down, you can smell the funk of 1,000 years in there. It is terrible.
Funk is a fun word. Yeah. 735 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know. This is we had Jimbo on yesterday morning. Did he break the news that he was getting an extension yesterday? No. Another extension for a Texas. If you win 9 games for the Aggies, you're going to get paid for a lifetime.
Aggies, y'all. No offense, but just seems so desperate.
Why are you doing this?
After the Sumlin thing with 3 contracts in 4 years, I was like, are y'all sure y'all want to do this?
He signed.
Don't y'all want to see him win at a high level without Johnny Manziel?
I mean, he is doing an unbelievable job. And Jimbo is nose to the grindstone. I mean, he is. That dude is not. I don't think he's changing much. I know somebody like to enjoy himself a little bit more than Jimbo does. Jimbo went on a safari. It's probably the only time he took off. I know this. Jimbo's a grinder.
Yeah.
He is a grinder.
Well, they want to make sure they lock him up, but Jimbo's not going anywhere.
He's got a 10-year, $75 million deal, but they gave him a 3-year extension to around $9 million. So, congratulations, but you might want to win a couple years in a row before you do eggs. Well, I know you finished fifth, but goodness, or fourth, whatever you finished. Is it really necessary now?
Is it Aggie desperation and not wanting the hot chick to break up with them? Or was maybe somebody sniffing around Jimbo going, hey, maybe it's time we hire Jimbo away. Maybe we can cash a bigger check than Aggie. He's got seven years left
on his deal. It's not like,
and I'm sure the buyout's substantial.
Yeah,
but if somebody was you know talking no, to his agent is, about, hey, how, I will money whip the hell out of A&M. A&M went, no, you won't.
Listen,
we'll do it.
There's two biggest money making programs in college football. It's Texas and Texas A&M. And Texas A&M says, listen, if you win football games, we are going to extend you. That's their policy. That's how they go about it. They did it with Summy. They're doing it with Jimbo. They are giving you money if you win 9 football games. So you are not going, they want you to lock in. And then sure enough, Summy, you know, it all kind of fell apart. You got to buy him out. It costs you money. He goes, makes more money at Arizona. And now he's living comfortably. And I saw him actually at the airport a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, what are you going to do this year? Nothing. But, you know, not even any nothing.
Oh, he's getting paid.
I'm not doing, why would I? I don't need to do anything.
If you pay me, how much are you getting paid?
He's getting paid from Arizona. He's probably still getting paid from the Aggies.
If the Aggies in Arizona want to give me a giant paycheck that is in the 7-figure range, watch how quickly I won't do anything either.
Well, 7-figure, it's probably what?
Well, I mean annually I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I don't know. Maybe there's just one payment as a buyout and I'm good, thanks. I don't need nothing.
I don't know how many years left he had. I think he was more closer to probably $3 million a year.
He got $11 million from A&M and then $7.5 million from Arizona.
And his buyouts?
Buyouts.
$18 million, I think I'm okay. I don't have to work this year.
Two teams got rid of him for $18.5 million. And we wonder why the players are like, and so many people said, hey, can the players get paid?
Nope.
No.
No. No. That's it. That's,
No, we don't have money left. We're paying out coaches $18.5 million to not coach for us anymore.
Does that sound like amateurism to you? No. How about Quinn Ewers? Quinn Ewers picked
That's not true.
$1.4 million?
That's not inaccurate.
What is accurate?
It is. Okay, so if he wins a national championship, he has to hit a bunch of things for that to happen. It's more like I think it's a $140,000 deal.
3-year contract with autograph vendor GT Sports Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it's worth, well, okay, so possibly worth 1.4.
Yeah, it's worth, if he hits every, that's like when agents release things because they want to hear the big number, that's what happened there. So the headline, what's the headline that you read? If you want to click it, it's literally on the front page. Quinn Ewers inks $1.4 million deal.
Yeah.
It's highly unlikely.
F-250.
Unless Ohio State wins a national championship, you ain't getting no coat. You're not going to get $1.4 million. So the incentives, I happened to talk to our friend who's in that space, and we were talking about that. He goes, that's not what the deal is. But everyone's going to paint it as a $1.4 million deal.
I know, but this is starting to – now, our friend is in the same business.
No.
And how many times do we hear agents going
– no, but it's right there. You can see it. I know what you're saying. Yeah. And I know Dusty's not really that kind of guy that's going to just bad talk. He just
apparently, he's also got deals in place with a local kombucha. Kombucha chain?
Yeah.
It's
like 100 – look, it's
what
like
is a kombucha chain?
It's a fermented drink that's like a probiotic for your stomach.
Oh. Yeah. And a Columbus, Ohio car dealership.
Yeah. They're not – he's got like over $100,000. If he wins, I think it's like the national championship and wins the Heisman Trophy, then it goes up to $1.4 million.
Oh, gotcha.
Those are not likely to be – let's just call them not likely to be earned incentives.
Yeah.
But they're legit. They can make him a bunch of money, but he's going to have to hit that. So what's reported? $1.4 million is reported. What's it actually worth? It's not actually over $200,000. But he is going to make over $100,000.
Yeah, this is a lot like Cam or Tyrod Taylor's $11 million deal.
Yeah, and Cam's deal.
And Cam's deal.
That we heard that was about 14, this year. Yeah. It was actually $4 million.
Right.
I couldn't believe the amount of... I couldn't believe the amount of Cam talk there was.
What yesterday. Are you talking about?
It was unbelievable on Twitter, the amount of hot takes either way. I don't know that Cam was washed up. The idea that Cam is washed, he might be. But I've never seen this level of excitement for a quarterback who just came off 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Never in football history have we seen more fans/media excited about the future of an 8 touchdown, 10 interception guy in history who has arm troubles, can't throw anymore. Keyshawn
will tell you every time you mention this because Keyshawn thought Cam Newton was going to be the MVP again this year. Patriots are
What did he say this morning?
Well, he had COVID.
What did he say this morning?
COVID. He had COVID. He had COVID last year. That's why he played poorly.
No, but what did he say about him not making the not well, getting it this year?
Well, it's dumb. It's just stupid.
Now, to me, this is what you do. Here's what's going to happen in Chicago. As soon as they figure out Andy Dalton's not the answer, if he's not the answer, and he's not the answer, the answer is Justin Fields. The question is, when will Justin Fields be ready?
And they say it's October. October, he's going to start.
That's 4 games.
Unless they're 3-1.
Makes sense.
Unless they're 3-1.
Well, then you got a discussion. Well, the main thing is going to be winning. If Matt Nagy can win with Andy Dalton, then you got the trump card with Justin Fields that you can play him at any time, and that will save his job if he can get there. If they start 0-2, I'll bet you it's Justin
Fields. It's September.
It ain't going to be – Andy won't get to 3 games if he loses the first 2.
All right. When we come back, there is another sport that is going thumbs down, and it's sad. It's really sad. Time to talk right now about our peeps over at Champion Energy. Look, Alex Bregman loves Champion Energy. How can you not? Alex Bregman is one of the greatest people in the world, right? And if Alex Bregman says, let's do this thing, then well, let's do this thing.
If Alex Bregman wanted you to jump off the cliff, would you do it?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. As long as the water was deep enough, yes, I would jump off a cliff for Alex Bregman. You wouldn't do it? Okay, whatever. Alex Bregman says Champion Energy. I say Champion Energy. Case closed. This is over. This discussion is over because you go with Champion Energy. It's disgusting if you're not with Champion Energy. It's just disgusting me anyway. So if you're looking to save money, have the best service, which I don't know how you get the best service when nothing ever goes wrong. I guess it's the best in service. When I called her and when we move every 2 weeks, I have to change my electricity over to the new place. It's no problem. It's easy. It's simple. There's nothing to it. What I need you to do is go with Champion Energy because they're awesome. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 7:46 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get to that. This is embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. But we will get to it in just a second. In the meantime, let's get LSU Brian, and he's been waiting. He wants to talk on the radio. Hey, LSU Brian, how are you?
What's going on, guys? Good morning. Hey, man, the Texans, I'm sure y'all would agree, has not made many good moves here lately. Not even here lately, but I'm not sure when the last time they have made a good move. But I tell you what, as an LSU fan, I wanted to give the Texans props. They took them in Sunday. They're still there. They'll be flying out to UCLA tomorrow. But, man, so I listen to Coach O and, when he talks. And the Texans took them, the whole team in, and they gave them permission to NRG. I mean, they housed them and everything. Mikasa, Sukasa, everything they wanted, they needed, was available to them. And so I just wanted to give Cal, they haven't had much good PR. And so, man, I wanted to let that be known. They took LSU in when they needed it. And so I just want to throw that out there. And much good, but that's a good PR move. And Louisiana folks appreciate that.
Yeah, we're here for people. You know, we're how about Mac? I was driving him 45 the other day, and he just had a sign on Gallery Furniture said, if you any Louisiana residents that need a place to sleep, come on, get over here, and you can sleep here. That's Houston. That's just Houston being Houston now. We got to help them out, too, because they have been bummed. It is amazing. It's awful how bad Louisiana has gotten.
Yeah.
Just bummed. Barred with hurricanes the last 3 years.
And East Texas, like that whole area, the whole corridor, it's been bad. I reached out in our text string. We have our college buddies who we all play ball together. A couple guys may be headed this way. One from New Orleans. One from New Orleans who said his power's been out and will keep being out. And his dad's got power out a little bit further west in Louisiana. I can't remember where it is, but he might come stay here with some friends and we're going to hook up and get together here. But he said, yeah, there's thought about getting on the road. You know, because it's easy sitting here to forget when you don't have power or water, you just remember to the freeze. Remember when you would try to find out, we went and stayed at John Granato, John, who's right here on the show, who I like to call John Granato. We went to your house one night because you had power.
Yeah.
And then your power went out at 10:30.
Yeah.
For a second, we're like, oh, no, not this again. When you don't have water or power or ice or whatever, and we're in the middle of a hot-ass summer, too.
Watching, and it's 100 degrees in New Orleans right now.
Yeah.
Watching the news yesterday of the devastation, it was awful.
Our feels like yesterday was 107.
Awful.
It's been hot and humid here. You can just imagine what it is in Louisiana with power outages all over the place. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people who, the hurricane's over. Yeah, but we know how it is. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's over. As a matter of fact, it means it's just beginning.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. So, you can expect to see. And it hit Baton Rouge from a power standpoint, too. Did you see the crap Tulane is catching?
Why?
Well, Tulane did not have. I don't know that Tulane is entirely wrong on this thing, at least what they said. But they're catching tremendous tremendous flack for, let me see if I can look it up here. It was yesterday because they're now starting to evacuate their students now, but because they didn't evacuate them previously, and now, you know, there's no power, so now they're saying, okay, well, you got to go home now. And they're saying, why didn't you do it before? And what Tulane said was, well, it was a late turn. You know, the models did not project for us to. And from what I understand, talking to a friend of mine before the hurricane even hit, he's in New Orleans. He didn't think the model was going to call for them to get hit this hard. But there was, everyone knew there was a good chance that they were going to lose power and things like that. But Tulane took a bunch of crap for saying that they're just putting their...
Man, all they needed was an entire university out on I-10 because people...
Just how bad that was?
It was the worst. It was the worst. So, yeah, a kid stranded, no money, trying to get home, no gas stations open. I mean, yeah, that would have been great. All you kids, get out of here and get on the road and try to beat this with no money and no gas. So, no, you know what? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So, you know what? Tulane will overcome it. Tulane power. Let's go. Let's go, Greenway.
Twitter's outraged today.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
Twitter? I think everything's going to be fine.
Twitter's outraged? Okay.
Everything's going to be fine.
So, you know who else is outraged?
By the way, Jimbo doesn't have a buyout.
There's no buyout. So, you have to pay off the whole thing.
Jimbo would. Or, I guess, both sides.
Both sides would.
Both sides.
Yeah.
That's what somebody
says. Thank you. I mean, that's even worse. What if you want to get rid of them? That's even worse. You got to pay off the whole thing? Well, are you crazy?
Well, if Jimbo wants to
suppose get out. Jimbo just goes, you know what? Now I'm just going on safari all year. Now pay that man his money. But that's not Jimbo. So Bryson DeChambeau, apparently, after you guys didn't watch it. Did you watch any of it? Did you guys watch? I know you didn't. But it was back, and he and Patrick
Cantlay. I told you my dad kept calling about that.
About
Bryson
he
melting
down. He had a six-hole playoff at the BMW Championship, and it was epic. It was awesome. He couldn't hit a putt early on, and he hit a beautiful shot on the par three, and then Cantlay hit it inside him, and they both made their birdies, and they go on, and finally Cantlay ended it on the sixth playoff hole. It was a great match. But somebody, as he's walking off, a fan yelled, "Nice job, Brooksy." They call him Brooksy because he and Brooks Koepka are in a fight, and he was in no mood. He spun around in a fit of rage and began walking towards the person, and he said, "You know what? Get the F out." And security came, and they took the guy away. Apparently, they got in between them, but somebody that was there said it could have gotten really ugly. Well, now, apparently, Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, you know Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are tight. At a press conference, he says that the Brooksy chant is going to get you kicked out of golf tournaments. Much like horns down.
So Brooksy,
horns down.
Brooksy's the new horns down?
It's the new horns down. Horns down. Yeah, I said thumbs down earlier. I meant horns down. Horns down gets you kicked out of college football. I mean, you can never play again.
I don't know that they're kicking you out of football.
Well, in the Big 12, they are. You can't. If you do horns down,
still
you can't. I think it's gonna. I think it's gonna grow.
Is that still a thing?
I think it's gonna. I don't know if the Big 12 is gonna be all that. You know, maybe referees will still get you. But if you do horns down to anybody, you probably are excommunicated.
So we can't say Brooksy.
Can't say Brooksy. Can't do horns down. And apparently, New York Mets, if you're a Met, you can't do thumbs down.
This is, okay, so their fans have been booing them because they've been a huge disappointment. And so now you've got Pilar, you've got...
Baez is the one,
and also Lindor, like the three of them, actually. But the one that really is catching it is Baez. Because Baez has also made comments publicly.
Baez homered.
So the thumbs down is when they're booing the fans.
Well, and this came from that one heavy guy that went thumbs down.
Years ago.
That was years ago.
That's a meme.
But that's where thumbs down came from.
Yeah, that's the meme. Yeah.
That's the meme. So that dude did the thumbs down. And Baez, after he hit the homer, he came to home plate and gave the fans the thumbs down.
Yeah. He's been doing that, actually.
Big mistake.
Lindor did it. They have three of them have done it, but Baez discussed what it meant, and so now Mets fans are furious.
Well, let's get the when we come back, we'll have you the sound for from Baez.
He's basically booing the fans.
Well, no. And then, boy, you want to talk about a backtrack now? And we have the worst explanation ever. It was all double talk, and this is what I meant, and the fans are awesome, and it's just, it's kind of embarrassing. It's really just kind of embarrassing if you want to know the truth. But he had to back because he is getting crushed. Baez and Lindor, you're right, both went thumbs down, but Baez is getting it the worst. He came up in a pinch hit opportunity yesterday, and everybody was just crushing him, just crushing him. And you suck. I was saying, boo, Baez. He's in New York. You don't thumbs down the fans.
No, that's stupid.
That's just dumb. Yeah, you're going to be hated for Baez. You just got there. I mean,
I know. That's the problem. That's why he's got to backtrack.
Yeah, no. He absolutely does.
What do you think that? And what do you think about Lindor? Lindor better keep his mouth shut.
And because
after the money he just signed for,
and what how he's playing this year,
right? Exactly.
Trust me, you guys deserve to be booed. This lineup, how good it is, and how you've sucked this year. You deserve this. 757 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We'll have that sound on the other side.
ESPN 97.5.